the on-campus therapy that this school provides, would it re fully replace those websites, or would it just be an addition to them? Would that create conflict? So yeah, just something to think about. And then also, I think before we actually pass this on, like fully, I would love to like have like a website, even if it's like you don't have to like publish it, but you can get like a sort of proprietary website where you can just like we can all look at it and we can all like click around and sort of see what we think, and so we can give our feedback into the website. Because we pass this and then none of us like the website, then like we have to go back and like make changes, and that might be a little harder than just like having a prototype of the website already be published just for us to see potentially beforehand. Yeah, also I wish you like guys like talked to us that you were doing this beforehand with the technology committee, because I never really heard about this. Maybe I was missed out on the communication, but I didn't really heard you guys were developing something like this. And if you'd mentioned it, I would have loved to join in and like sort of, I don't know, help you guys with that. So, you know, I never heard that technology committee was building something like this, but maybe I missed out on it.
Okay, thank you so much for your points. For your most recent point, I do tell you guys to join the technology committee. No one listens to me. As for this, it's like thanks to the person who created the technology committee through multiple conversations. This is not the only thing we've been doing. We have conversations around student security, like whether or not Cornell's like data within individual computers are safe. We have conversations on more of a faculty side as well of just like how do students feel about AI being used to grade their papers. This is definitely not the most the center focus of the technology committee. It is a really, really cool function of it. And I do encourage anyone who wants to join now too. However, I have been telling guys to do it. So just that on that. As for the specificity, I'll be happy to specify it. The reason why Christian and I didn't make it super specific is because it is all websites in totality. So it was like, it was just like almost like be too vague or include every single link that was there, in my opinion. But if you would like examples, and if you think examples would be beneficial, I'd be happy to include them. And no, it's not replacing anything. I can add an amendment to specify that. However, this is just an add-on to the current resources already there.
I will say on top of that, it's more so, it's not necessarily a replacement. Rather, it's going to be doing all the digging for you. So like if there's something that is like buried in, I keep going back to Cornell Health. If there's something that's buried in Cornell Health's website that you're trying to find for access to a resource, like it's going to be able to like access those websites and like figure out and point you to that place directly rather than you going through, like it's not going to replace the actual websites themselves. They'll still be there.
Representative Causey, do you still have a comment? Because I
Yeah.
had you down next. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with the resolution as a whole. One, because I mean, we have a lot of like resources that if we have multiple resources that are too similar, let's say mental health, we have since that seems like to be a repetitive example here, right? We have so many mental health resources on campus that it's easy to click on one website and think that that website has it all and feel like you're missing something. So I think it's really important that we have something like this simply because since we have so many resources, it's easy to look at two or three for the same topic and then miss out on all the rest of them simply because you thought, oh, I saw these resources and that's all that exists. So I'm fully in support of this. I just think we're talking a lot about like the final product of what this is going to look like. And in tech development, I think a lot of it is like one step at a time as we're going through like the first version of this, and then we're sending out like the demo of it so people can test it out and everything else. So I don't fully expect them to like come to student assembly and be like, this is the website. And if we don't like it, we're not going to pass it. If anything, I'm more like into passing this simply because it seems like all of us agree that this is an issue and an issue we should prioritize changing. And then as long as we pass it, we know that the tech like committee is focusing on this issue. And then just doing whatever we can to like support them in the tech development because I don't think it makes that much sense to wait until it's completely developed and like the perfect version before we pass it when we already know that like we agree with the issue. And it's gonna obviously take more than a few demos before we get like the perfect version that's perfectly compatible with Cornell. Yeah, thank you so much. It is a prototype, so I wholeheartedly agree. It's not like you guys are going to say yes and we just like implement this tomorrow. It's a prototype. It really is just approval for continuing working on it and fine-tuning it and having it expedited in the process of getting to students. Whereas right now it's there, but it might have a different pathway that might be slower and get to people a little bit slower. I do understand curiosity over it. It's really cool. I'll have it to you guys next week. It's just not downloaded on my computer right now, but don't worry.
Representative Agarwal.
Hi, yeah, I definitely think fantastic idea. I love it. This is definitely something that I think we definitely need at Cornell. My quick question is, so With the software, is it inputting information from all of these websites at like a specific time? Or is it like updating continuously as the websites are updating? Just because I know like after like for Shaq, we're with Cornell Health, they're always adding to their website, like with new resources or things that are, they're adding currently, like the embedded therapists, they're also adding a couple other more mental health focused resources. So I was just wondering if then, like, I know it's a prototype, so obviously totally understandable. This is still getting fleshed out, but if that would be like, if that would have to be updated manually at like time periods, like maybe like every month, and then who would be like in purview of that, like to make sure that kept on happening. And then my second point, really quickly, was just like more of a suggestion in terms of testing. Definitely, obviously, student body should test it for sure. I also think it might be beneficial if maybe some of like the committees or different like faculty or departments also like really worked on testing it as well. So like for example with Cornell Health, I think if they saw it on their end and like started searching things up as if they were a student, they could tell us also like, hey, this is good, like this is what we're offering, or maybe we're not seeing enough of this one resource as well. So those are my just 2 cents.
Thank you so much. That's a great idea. I wrote it down. I definitely think there's benefit in not having it just be almost an echo chamber of people testing it, but having students and different departments just to make sure that if we're really claiming this resource is a consolidation of all the different websites, it actually does that in the part and we have all the department's approval. As for if it updates, I wish I can tell you, but I'm not technical enough for that. I can get back to you next week after asking. I assume it would update because I don't think that they would create something that like has websites from 10 years ago, and then I would expect them to want to have it be trusted, but I can't give a for sure answer, so I'll definitely ask that and get back to you next week.
Representative Walters.
Hi, there seem to just be like a lot of different questions about like technical details on what the pilot software is going to look like and how it's going to be used. So I was just wondering if you guys had like a date on the calendar for like an upcoming technology committee meeting so that people can come in and kind of ask their questions and learn more about it.
Sundays 1 p.m. Come join us. Yeah. Oh, Sundays at 1 p.m. It's on Zoom. Zoom.
Representative Ehrlich.
Won't properly grab this microphone even once today. I have to go back to something Representative Chaudhary said earlier, because he was talking about, I'm kind of using what he said. I think he mentioned that it was sort of disingenuous to sort of take some credit for this because, it's been a 2-year process. And then I think your response was that there's like one guy on the tech committee who like works for Cornell IT to understand. I don't want you to answer yet because I'm not done speaking, and that would be back and forth, and that's not in order. But that wasn't passive aggression. That was me.
Stay on
okay. All I'm saying is, I'm just like, I'm honestly like, it sounds to me like there's some dude on the tech committee who's like a superstar, works for Cornell IT, and was actually instrumental in this. And like, I'm honestly floored. Like, could you at least have put him down as an endorser or an author? Like, would love to know who this is and give him his flowers. Would love. And honestly, like, I do feel like there's like some campaign incentive to this. Like, y'all are making this resolution. Which, by the way, doesn't even say reviewed by technology committee on it, which I don't know why you didn't do that either. And it's like I do feel like I don't know. Like, can you tell me how many technology committees you meetings you've had where you talked about this plan? Can you tell me like what anyone that's not the one guy did to help with this? And like maybe give me some more context and feel free to like tell me why I'm wrong because like I did come at you a little bit.
Okay, multiple things. And first, I want to say this has nothing to do with the resolution and the chat bot, but I'll answer all of them. Firstly, that's not what Representative Chaudhary was saying. He was saying that previously to when this idea was even made through a conversation between me and assembly member, this had already been a thing through a different party. Representative Chaudhary can be free to say that. I've had conversations with Department of IT as the IT liaison, and they didn't mention that to me. It, we're not taking credit for something. There just happens to be two of the same idea, it seems like, from what I understand, because this is the first time I'm hearing of it. And I've talked to multiple administrations. So, yeah, there's two out there. If you would like to use both, please, I'll send you mine. You could talk to Representative Tahiri about the other one, and you can compare which one you like best. As for like the technology committee, I think you're axing the functions and stuff. The person who made it or who was like the coder didn't want to be an endorser. Have you ever like, anyways, they didn't want to. Like they knew about this resolution being made, and they didn't feel like it was needed to put it there because, unlike what you think, not everything everyone does has a political motive.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, bye. Thank you.
Anyways, yes, they knew about the resolution, so not everything everyone does has a political motive. They were happy to code. As for how the other members who were non-technical in the technology committee helped, we made the ideas, we added the websites, we made the design. Not everything about coding is so back-end that only the person who puts in the programming has something to do with it. And as for it saying that it's a campaign thing, I'm trying to find like a nice way. As for saying it's a campaign thing, one, it is say reviewed by technology committee because I submitted it at 11:59 and I rushed it. And two, me trying to be humble, I don't think I need this for the campaign. There's like three people running and there's two. Like I just don't see, you know what I like, I'm trying to be respectful, but I just don't, you know what I mean? Like I don't understand the like super evil planned thing. Me and Sonia had this resolution planned, or we talked about this since I took on this position. You know, it's been in conversation for a while for me. Yeah, like please, I've been saying to join the technology committee for a bit. Jinjo, when he left, he made me the IT liaison. I was super grateful for it, because it was an opportunity to expedite this process. And I hope I answered all of your concerns that had nothing to do with this or the student body. I hope you're happy now. Thank you.
Just point of information out there, just like,
Recognize.
yeah, just to clarify, like the ground. First off, it's Chaudhary, not I mean, across the board. Besides that, the thing I was speaking of, I just put into the student assembly chat. I think everyone's in there. Student Campus Life was working to create what they call an Ivy.ai chatbot. It's the first thing that pops up when you go on any of the SCL's websites. It seems to do a similar thing to this resolution. I don't know like what IT is doing, what like SEL is doing, if there's collaboration. We'll see the prototype next week when this eventually passes. But yeah, I gotta run. But good stuff, guys.
Okay. Representative Carson.
Oh, this is real quick. I just think that you guys should consider doing a follow-up resolution that it just explains how you'll kind of, I think like Representative Chaudhary was saying, oh, sorry, okay, I'm glad I said it right. Just like making a comms resolution that kind of just explains like how you'll advertise this and get people to know, get students to know that this is available, would be a nice second step after this. That's it.
Yes, I definitely agree with the sentiments. I'll write that down. This is, and I'll also, I suppose, add a whereas to explain that this is just a prototype and that all this resolution does is have IT department expedite it. That's what I meant through the last whereas, or the last beat therefore resolve with formally adopt, test, and deploy. I'll fine-tune it. This resolution passes doesn't mean that it gets implemented. It's just fine-tuning what's already there because what's already there is basically bare bones of the idea. But I do understand your sentiments and I wrote it down. And yeah.
I also want to note if there's any other like specific areas that y'all think should be added, like aside from mental health, financial aid, employment opportunities that like should be looked at, like please let us know so we can add them. Cause it, like there can be those edits between. And I mean like conversations that I've had aren't gonna be like the entire scope of what the entire student body wants to do. So I'm just putting that out there as well.
Representative Carson, wait, you just asked yours. Who's next? Okay, Representative Ferrala.
As the last point, it was a little while ago, I spoke to Ryan Lombardi. One of the things we did talk about was that there is some sort of initiative somewhere that is trying to consolidate career opportunities across like all the different schools, because each has a different career office and different opportunities get shown in different places and whatever. That being said, I would like to motion to end debate, so.
Their dissent. Seeing none, debate is now ended, and this resolution has moved to the third reading calendar. Now goes resolution 80, transferring funds from Cornell Minds Matter for to Cornell Minds Matter for light of the season. Wait, was no one to see the chair? Okay, no, sister. Wait, no. Evie Fufanoy, see in the chair. Wait, no, it's like
Wait, if it's what it means, most of the
All right. Oh, hear me from you. Why are we all on the side of the table? We can move. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this one should be fairly simple and easy. Can you hear me? It's very loud over here. Wow. So Minds Matter, given the 50 cent allocation heading into this new SAF cycle, and certain situations with the cost of installing the lights for light of the season, they need money. Basically, they had a ton of money in reserves from the last two or three cycles of the student activity fee, which is why they started light up the season 2 years ago. And they, when they originally started light up the season, Cornell's maintenance department and facilities passed down the offer for them to be the ones putting up the lights and those things. So they contracted it to an outside lights, literally a winter lights company, a company that does that stuff around Central New York. And there was a union complaint filed this year over the fact that Cornell is not using the union labor on campus. And so now they're moving to the union labor for the foreseeable future. It does increase costs from about 15,000 or 20,000 to 40-ish thousand over the next 2 years. And it will probably go up when you add in materials and maintenance costs. So they requested $50,000 to $60,000. We're putting in 50, and then we'll see where that leaves them at the end of the 2 years, when they will also probably be able to apply for an increased student activity fee amount, and or just offering this partnership with the student assembly where we have a larger income than them and have a greater reach of being able to move around money. I do think it is a benefit to us that we are able to help them in this situation. And this comes after a lot of conversations with the leadership in Cornell Minds Matter and in student campus life. And for some other context on this funding situation, the maintenance costs of broken lights, because lights are up for about 3 months. You all have seen it on Hope Plaza. Things happen. Bulbs go out, things fall, break, whatever, are tampered with. All of the above has happened in the last 2 years. And our agreement is that the student assembly's money will go towards the initial installment and the removal at the end of the season, those costs, and then student campus life will fund the maintenance in between those dates. And then Cornell Minds Matter's own internal budget will go towards the actual celebration around starting light up the season every December. So that is what this looks like for us.
Representative Cook.
I've hung up Christmas lights before. Am I missing something for these amounts of money? I feel like me and a few guys at the Veterans House could probably do this for like $500 and a case of beer. Like, this is just, I mean, this is just thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, $25,000, $50,000. And then the maintenance for this, like, if a string of lights goes down, you just rip them off the tree and then hang them right back up. I
Yeah.
mean, I understand there's probably a few more steps to that, but at the end of the day, you can still just go buy all this at Walmart.
Well, okay, the good news is they've bought all the supplies they'll be using for the next 2 years, bought them from the company that used to install them,
What supplies other
and
than
like
lights?
literally the lights, the outdoor grade lights.
For
And I guess
$50,000? All right.
part of it is that, and we had the same questions. Like my brain goes there as well.
hang up Christmas lights with my dad every year for free. So, like that is definitely something that comes to mind, but it is part of it is the insurance, around having people install lights. They can't just have students do it and be uninsured and like all those things. This is New York. So in New York State, there's a lot of regulations around all things. Yeah, you never know exactly. So there has to be liability insurance. And that's a huge part of having approved, state approved labor.
Representative Porter.
Hi. So, obviously, I loved Light Up the Season. Nothing against the event in general. I think it's a great event. But how sustainable is it to allocate these sorts of funds to Light Up the Season, annually, I guess, with our reserve like quickly drying up? I mean, I trust that you've discussed it yourselves. I just want to hear the reasoning.
I will give you my reasoning, which is that having the student assembly be a partner on a project where this is within our annual budget, that is a good thing because the more we partner with Bylines, the more we're able to say, okay, what if you work across Bylines on these things and pool funds, basically. Cornell Minds Matter, when we originally had our meetings with them in finance committee and in light of student activity fee allocations made, they were incredibly angry with us and claimed that by lowering their allocation, they would just stop the light of the season altogether. That would be the first thing that they do because they have a lower allocation, they can't afford it. And even the fact that they're coming to us to ask for us to fund the infrastructure means that we are a valuable partner now, and we can move forward with a partnership on this program. So, I mean, in my opinion, their budget is too small to maintain this long term. Given the rest of what they do, I wouldn't justify more than a dollar allocation, which still wouldn't fund this from their budget. I do see the value in having them as a byline and as a partner again, and like hosting the primary event and those types of things, but the more the student assembly is able to be a partner in the infrastructure of important on-campus events, that's just really valuable to me. And so I do see this as a good model for us being, again, a partner because part of our agreement with them in this funding situation is that they will have, of course, oversight over, again, the introductory events. But if there were to be any expansion to, say, the Arts Quad or other places where they've thought of expanding, that we would be a partner in that. And we would be a part of discussions on installment for the next 2 years. I'm happy to write that into a third reading calendar version so that it's in writing. But that was part of our very, say, strongly worded discussion with them over this funding request that they suddenly came to us with after saying that they would actually be cutting the light up season. So it's a mixed thing. I'll let them respond.
I think specifically in terms of thinking like financial sustainability, a lot of what I picture using the reserves for, we have some other ideas that I thought were great, like vending machines, but I think like a really big way we should be using the reserves is in terms of like byline collaborations to help the student assembly support a lot of these organizations. And then long term, you know, this is intended to be a disbursement for the student activity fee cycle. So I think that gives a really easy argument for CMM to come back in a couple of years when they're presenting to the finance committee for the student activity fee again, saying we received this money from student assembly previously. However, we may not, the student assembly may not have the financial power to like be able to continue to support us in this way. So we'd need this increase. So I guess when you're a junior, that's a conversation that we'll be having down the line.
Representative Ehrlich, and also note, Chair, it's small favorably upon a quick motion to extend the meeting time. It's almost 6:30. We have 10 minutes.
Do that at the end of speaking.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, I just want to correct something President Durham said. Cornell Minds Matter was mad at us, not for cutting their funding, because we never tried to cut their funding. Their funding never went down in the byline at any point. That was just something they said, which wasn't true. Okay, but I think this is great. We should be spending money on this. And it is kind of sustainable in the sense that, like, if in 2 years we keep having to give them money, we can up their amount in the byline process. And if we think it's valuable enough, that means that we can take that money from somewhere else or whatever we think makes sense, right? That's the beauty of the byline process. There's many unbeautiful things about the byline process, but that's the beauty of it. So, yeah, I think this would be great. Motion to extend the meeting time to, I don't know, let's say 7 for now.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? Seeing none. Meeting time is 10 to 7 p.m. Representative Shekik. Sekik. Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with almost everything that's been said. And I think that everyone involved has been sort of thinking about the long-term funding of this. And if I remember correctly from last semester, another reason why we didn't want to just give them the money and increase their allocation or whatever, one is that we wouldn't have been able to cover it because an increase was rejected already, and we knew that was probably going to happen. And I think also I remember when we were reviewing their finances, there was a lot of unnecessary spending, and that it was people we thought that if giving them more money, they might instead not spend it all on the lights or then kind of just hold that over as a reason that if we cut the funding because you're spending an excessive amount of money on whatever free things every meeting instead of helping the campus, that we should and do reserve the right to cut the funding for that reason. And so I actually like this method, and it's the same, and I think it's a good approach, same way with MGFC, where it's kind of a hard stop where we understand there's been problems, complications, or whatever, but the buck has to stop somewhere. And then hopefully whoever any freshmen or sophomores who are here and will be here again 2 years from now when there's a byline, retain this institutional knowledge and help convey it, or even reach out to any seniors or upperclassmen who are graduated. If you reach out to me 2 years from now about assembly, I'll answer the questions, I promise. So I think this is something that I think is good, and that it'll just fall upon the assembly and Cornell Minds Matter to remember 2 years from now and address it then. Motion to close debate.
There any dissent? Seeing none, this has been moved to third reading calendar. And now we are moving to third reading calendar for resolution 70.
One. We have one. Y'all. Have the ability to actually get your identity. Yes.
Seating chair back.
What? I don't think there's very. I don't think there are.
Rosa RPCC, they don't have. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know.
I'm actually seating the chair.
But
I don't. You guys are very much.
Wait, the sign fell.
Huh?
Sign fell. It fell? Bruh, what's the plan?
I feel like you guys get the point. Anyways, long time coming. I'm here with Plastic Free Cornell today. And I'm gonna let them talk about the resolution, kind of give background context.
What?
You can't hear me through this one?
I just speak closer.
Okay, I need to put it like, okay.
Maybe.
You want this one?
Maybe.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, sorry. Anyways, as I was saying, I'm here with Plastic Free Cornell and then also Skip the Lid. I'm going to let them like answer your guys' questions, talk about the resolution, kind of whatever they want to talk about. Thank you for letting me table this for a week. I'm glad I could have them here. I did not feel right passing it without them. So yeah, I'm going to kind of let them talk.
What's the resolution number again?
Resolution 70.
Okay, yeah. So essentially, this is a phase-out resolution to ban single-use plastics on Cornell's campus. So we've been working really hard to make this as feasible as possible. So I can give like a little overview of why this is important. So this is something all the SUNY schools have adopted. They've adopted a very similar policy. We modeled our policy after the SUNY policy. And then a bunch of other schools, like all the UC schools, UVA, they've adopted similar ones. So this is something a lot of universities have done. And the way we framed it is a 5-year phase out to allow for like procurement details and like feasibility details. And there are specific exceptions for like research or medical emergencies, things like that. So the way we're building it, we're trying to build it in a very reasonable manner. But we think this is something really important as we like continue as an institution. If we claim to be a leader in sustainability and care about it, we felt like this was really important. Do you want to add anything? And then also skip the lid is like kind of like a separate tangent. Yeah.
Hi guys, I'm a student athlete here, and I started a club called Cornell Student Athletes for Sustainability, where we're just like focusing on specifically how the athletic department can be more sustainable. But I also brought sort of a movement called Skip the Lid, as you guys might have seen around our cafes, little signs to just give people the opportunity to skip a lid and track it, and then eventually the organization I'm working with outside of Cornell is working on a way to figure out how the amount of lids we skip get turned into like a carbon emissions reduction like calculation. And so, yeah, I've just been working with Plastic Free Cornell, heard about this resolution, and I'm in like huge support of it. And I think this is really important. Again, like Sam said, like if we're going to be a leader in sustainability as a university, like we should really make sure that we're walking the walk as well as talking the talk. So thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They can.
President Durham.
Hey, this is I'm a very big fan of this resolution. Like to start there, it's probably my number one gripe with Cornell since coming to school here, was the abundance of single-use plastics and just plastic on this campus in general. I grew up on a family farm, and we have an aerobic composting facility there that I've grown up around. And we contract with a lot of people in various residential areas dealt with the like my dad is a big environmentalist, and that's why he founded that. And we've dealt with a big like the basically as compostable plastics have become popular and seen as a good, you know, good way out of single-use plastics, dealt with the growing pains of that. So for those who don't know, compostable plastics are really not compostable. They are just BPI-free plastic in a lot of ways. And they are only compostable in anaerobic digesters. Those require a lot of power input, and they are also a big infrastructure ask. I do not know where the nearest one is in central New York. So that is really where my concern with this resolution lies, I suppose. It's not with the resolution itself. I'm still a big fan of the resolution, but in thinking about the kind of lines toward the end about like where plastics have to be used using like the compostables. What I've seen, so my high school was pretty much all compostable plastics for single use things, and I was a very involved in the like sustainable student leadership, sustainability wings of campus, and I just found that people would instead contaminate recycling because the second that a non like a compostable plastic is in the recycling, that whole recycling system, metal, and things that can be sorted out, it's contaminated and nothing is sorted. And so I'm just nervous that proposing the alternative of compostable plastics may actually be worse. And given our location and the fact that Cornell Composting has previously refused compostable plastics, they've dealt with those growing pains in Morrison when originally our dining system allowed for a lot of compostable plastics, and then they a lot of things were getting thrown into the aerobic composting system that we have on campus here in Ithaca. Again, there's a lot involved, and so I'm curious if I don't know if you guys know where the nearest anaerobic digester is, if any other SUNY schools have those within central New York, not downstate, have relationships with you know. Companies that will truck waste off campus for those compostable plastics, things like that. Because again, big concern of mine, very used to it in all the negative ways.
Okay, that was also one of our concerns. So I was just talking to the waste manager at Cornell, and he manages all the R5 operations. So it's like Ithaca, Geneva, and all of our satellite campuses. And so Tompkins County composting, and then the other site that they use that starts with a C that I can't remember off the top of my head. Up until 2016, they did used to accept BPI free, so like the compostable plastics. And the reason they stopped is because people were just putting in like regular plastics into the compost. So the technology does exist. And so part of the idea of this phase out is that we would hopefully, number one, replace it with either like reusable. Like a reusable fork or something, and if when that's not available, then something like a bamboo, and then like last case would be those compostable plastics. And understanding that Cornell is such a large institution, if we're able to effectively transition, we might be able to encourage, if like students and faculty and people on campus are properly sorting those. Sorry, I'm not saying this well. If we as a campus can properly sort just the compostable plastics into compost and then bring it to those Tompkins County sites, I think they might be more willing to reframe their operations as well over the 5-year plan. So it's like it's all again like 5 years to help sort out those details. You have any?
Representative Sheckett.
Yeah, I love this resolution. Just my one gripe is Cornell's tap water quality is excellent. I'm from New York City. It's way better there. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think this is great. And something that I was just thinking of is that I think that this is, I love how you guys have structured this plan. It's very pragmatic, and it seems like you guys actually want this goal to happen rather than just say something. And something that just came up to me, and I think because it's a 5-year plan, I think it would be something to talk about with the waste managers or whoever is on student assembly in the future, is that once whatever solution they've taken, if they want to use whatever bamboo or BPI plastics, and they found an anaerobic composter, I think something that would be good is, consider in the future they make some kind of educational material and make it required for all new students on campus that to do this training. I think it's just I think I, for one, hate a lot of the mandatory trainings, but I think this is something that you should learn here, is that if there's a system that's uniform across campus for these types of plastics and composting, that you should just learn what you're getting and then where you dispose of it. Because like Zora said, is that, I mean, it's kind of sad that like a lot of the recycling bins on campus that I've noticed, it's to go, we can see people that clean it out. It just goes to the same trash that everything else does. Because of those reasons, that it just becomes contaminated and then it's not possible to. So I think if there's like a uniform, system created as a result of this, I think something to bring up. I don't think it needs to be included in the resolution now. I think it's just something that could be brought up and like remembered later, is that maybe make like a an education, materials or small like course or video, and then tell the Tacken Center to include it to all new students, so that whenever a Cornell new student or even a grad student, undergrad, or whoever comes to the Cornell community, they know what to do whenever they go to any of the on-campus eateries.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think that's a great point. So that's something we're also focused on is like approaching the end of the year, how to continue longevity of this. And so one thing we're doing right now is we're doing education across campus. So I don't know if you guys have been in any of the groups that we've presented to or any of the tablings you've seen across campus. So we've been one working on education. Two, we do have a our Sorry, Cornell does already have pre-orientation sustainability modules. And I actually like designed those and I was in those. So I could definitely help to get this instituted back in those modules. And then, yeah, I forgot the last thing I was going to say, but yes, on both of those.
Fair enough. And I just kind of want to add that, it's been really fun working on this resolution with like a lot of people. And I felt like I've met a lot of people from this resolution. In the sense that, like, this movement is going to be continued. We're hoping to again have tabling at Earth Day. Still, again, working with Skip the Lid. And then I had like one. We were going to do like follow-up resolutions too and just talk about different ideas in committee. But yeah, I've really enjoyed like working on this resolution and talking about like the longevity of it. And I am hoping to meet with the waste facilities people sometime in the coming week. The guy seems pretty responsive to me because I'm going to talk about like rat recycling and stuff, which is different, but certainly could bring up some of these points too, just to see what they have to say about recycling as a whole and just kind of the whole topic. So, yeah, wait, sorry.
As far as the like contamination with recycling, all of first I was told this by the operations manager that all recycling in Tompkins County is hand sorted once it gets to the facility. So the problem isn't necessarily that like once one bin is contaminated on Cornell's campus, it like ruins it for everything, but it's just like we're asking them to go through a lot more like labor intensive processes because we're not correctly sorting. So that's another thing that we're working on is to like get students on the same page so that we're not asking too much of Tompkins County, so that if we do want them to bring back in the compostable plastics, they might be more willing to. But luckily, it is still happening.
Representative Lyons.
Yeah, I'd like to echo my fellow representative's sentiments about how this is a really great resolution. I really like what you guys are doing with this. I think it's very actionable and it really does help build on Cornell's real commitment to sustainability that they want to build for purposes for the future. But I was inspired by Representative Sekut's comments about how other institutions can be brought into this. And I do think housing and residential life is another big one that would be incredibly helpful to bring into, because I know living in a freshman dorm right now, we do have compost bins in the kitchen, like these shared dorm kitchens we have. But as far as I'm aware, there's not really any, they don't get taken out. They get taken out like the trash. And I think that if there was maybe more awareness over, or like even if they happen at all, if the compost gets taken out at all, that would be really important to kind of include in this sustainability plan. But other than that, it's just really great resolution. So thank you guys.
Representative Cook.
Yeah, as some of the other SA members have said, I really do like the 5 year because, like, just cutting it off, like, we're all done. Like, I feel like that would be a really hard adjustment, especially for the entire campus. I do see how it says in there that it will save the university money, which is absolutely great. Me being a Dyson student always, raises my eyebrows. And I clicked on the link that you guys put in there from Down to Earth, and it was a little broad. I will say it did say some, big numbers in the future forthcoming. But just off the top of any of your guys' head, is there any, like, I'm not asking for like an actual financial breakdown, but do you know, like, specifically, like, which area, like, as soon as this goes through, or if obviously, like, what area it really will just like save like $100,000 in this section or right there? Just
That's a great point. We actually spent most of our last meeting working on like bringing specific numbers. Something that's really difficult is that we have been a kind of as a background, we've been working in separate teams. There's like some of us are working specifically on like procurement logistics, like trying to figure out like the pricing of that, like the vendors. So we've been working really hard to, if this gets passed, like we'll have a sheet of vendors that might be better ones to switch to. We'll have like economics breakdowns. We're really trying to make this as feasible as possible. I don't know off the top of my head that, but I don't know if I'm allowed to like email you resources after, but we could try and email you some things after if that's something you're interested in. Yeah. Oh, I don't know though.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
No other comments? Smile favorably upon motion to close debate. Any dissent? Seeing none, we're not voting the resolution. All those in favor, please raise your placards. Hi. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this resolution passes. We have no appointments and all. Oh, we do. Oh, Vice President Watkins.
I move to appoint myself as chair of the Student Workers Committee.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Well, is there a dissent? Okay, so now we're in debate discussion about this.
Patient, the chair have any info on what's up here?
Would you like to provide extra information on? No. The answer is no to your question. I'm unaware.
Wait, am I allowed to like speak?
Yeah.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm a student worker in the Brooks Student
Oops.
Service.
Well, Well, that's almost done. Go ahead.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm a student worker in the Brooks Student Services office. And I've like talked to some students on campus. And there's a, like I feel like there's employment things that aren't happening, like student like services policies. And I feel like our committee needs to like convene at least once before the year ends. We don't have a student workers representative right now, so I feel like there needs to be some more active form of policy making in this assembly regarding student workers on campus and student employment.
Recognize Representative Ehrlich. All right. Any dissent? Seeing none, debate is closed. Voting on his appointment. Yeah. All those in favor, please your placards. All those opposed? Any dissensions? All right. This appointment has been made. Congratulations.
Yes.
Oh, I'll see you, Chair Rocker.
Oh, okay. Just like a point of order slash information. I don't even know.
Recognize
So, could we like
information probably.
Check the attendance thing right now?
Okay, Chief of Staff.
Wait, I this is yeah, just. Okay, so thanks to one of our recently passed resolutions, that it's now the Chief of Staff's job to read this off. So President Durham has one half absence. Executive Vice President Flournoy has two absences. Vice President Adekwai has one and a half absences. Representative Aftab has three and a half absences. Representative Agarwal has two absences. Representative Anand has one half absence. Representative Bloom has zero absences. Representative Carson has zero absences. Representative Causey has three and a half. Representative Sekik has four and a half. Representative Cook has three. Representative Dorwood has five. Representative Ehrlich has zero. Representative Fard has five and a half. Representative Galprin has two. Representative Gale has one. Representative Han has four. Representative Cockra has four and a half. Representative Kim has seven. Representative Christopa has three and a half. Representative Masu has two. Representative Mui has one. Oh, well, sorry. Representative Porter has zero. Representative Purcell has three. Representative Spector has a half. Representative Suavi has one and a half. Deputy Tarala has zero. Aiden Biasi was gone. VP Wagesbach has six. Representative Walters has zero. VP Watkins has a half. Jinjo's not here. Representative Yabut has three and a half. Representative Yao has one. And VP Young has three and a half. He'd be at like 14. So now my point of inquiry is, what happens next?
Just get rid of
What happens next? What do we do now?
So,
I don't end up just getting.
Oh, we should.
Well, I mean, the representatives and vice presidents that are over the
it's four.
Over three and a half. There are one, two, three.
Seven. I have said that's like really sad.
There's more than one, which is really unfortunate.
There are 11 people who are over.
But is that necessarily to be unexcused and excused?
Yeah, so
yeah.
Unexcused. Sorry.
Unexcused absence is marked as a zero, and then an unexcused absence is marked as a one, and a unexcused Zoom or an unexcused early out or an unexcused late arrival is 0.5. So they do all add to the number of unexcused absences. There's a system as outlined in the bylaws and standing rules. Yes.
Do your job.
Recognized.
Yeah.
Ehrlich.
Sorry, who are you recognizing?
I said Representative Ehrlich.
Okay. I couldn't tell. Sorry.
No, good.
I know it's late in the game. We have like a month left, but I've kind of had it. So I'm going to move to recall Vice President Lagos back from his position. Not his position on assembly, but his vice presidency of communications. I believe it's in the charter that you can do that, and we need a two-thirds majority. But, like, not only has he been gone for, like,
you
six
need
meetings.
Two-thirds to remove him from his position, period. It's a majority to remove him from his vice presidential role because it's a majority to instate him into that role. So it would be a majority to reverse that.
Even better. But, like, just saying, like, just not only has he missed six meetings, he also didn't do his job until, like, a month ago when Ishan crashed out at everyone. And, like, he still isn't the one who's mainly doing his job. It's his committee.
And you got the election timeline wrong, by the way. Which is really bad for me.
Anything to add about the communications committee? No.
Need a second?
Not that many.
What is there a second on the stop? Is there a second on that motion? Okay, is there dissent on that motion? What? Okay, there is dissent. So there is during the meeting. Is there? Stop! I'm getting the book out. Oh my god!
Throw the book at you.
Yes, you can. Yes. So you can would you like to listen or would you like to leave? Thank you. The options for what happened next are we have to take a vote on this motion to remove Vice President Wagensbeck from his position as a vice president of the student assembly. This is not related to the attendance, because if it was related to the attendance, then that would be a separate motion to remove for attendance purposes, which would be removing his voting rights for 2 weeks. So this is just a motion that has been made, period. It is not related to the attendance call-outs, actually. And for everyone's awareness, if Vice President Wagensbeck is removed from his vice presidential position, post-debate, post-voting, etc., that and it did become a vacancy, that vacancy would have to be filled right now. No vice presidential role can be vacant. So there would be a vote, an immediate vote for new vice president of communications if this all were to happen. For everyone to be aware. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we have 13 minutes right now. Representative Spector.
Motion to extend the meeting time to how long do we have the room fill?
Yeah. Eric, how long do we have the room?
7:15.
Okay, 7:15.
Motion to extend the meeting to 7:15.
There's a second. Is there a dissent? Okay, there is dissent. All those in favor,
second.
Okay, is there a dissent? Okay, there's dissent. All those in favor of extending the meeting time, please raise your placards. Hi, thank you. All right, 12. All those opposed to extending meeting time. In a vote of... You're double voting. All right. Okay, in a vote of 12 to 7, meeting time has been extended. Okay, moving on. There was a second on the motion, and there was dissent on the motion to remove Vice President Wagensbeck from his vice presidential role. Thus, we are in debate on the motion, and Representative Ehrlich has a right of response. Representative Carson. Oh, actually, sorry. We'll start with Representative Ehrlich because this is going to be more of a... This is a hearing without... Anyway. All right, Representative Ehrlich.
All right, so first of all, I want to correct a small thing you said, which is that this isn't related to his attendance. It's not the official vote that we would take with regards to his attendance, but it is related to his attendance along with his performance and his role and just, like, his behavior on this assembly. Our executive board should be made up of people who care about doing not only their job, which I'm not clear how much he cares about that, considering that clearly his committee does most of his job and he wasn't doing it before like a month ago. But not only that, but also they should care about the meetings that we have here that every other person on this assembly is supposed to be coming to and staying at. Leaving early for a recruiting event is crazy behavior. So, and six absences is also crazy behavior. So I'm sorry, but like I have had it and that's why I've made this motion. Please just like make the simple vote so that we can have someone who deserves to be on executive board on our executive board. And just to clarify, I'm sorry. I just want to clarify that I won't be seeking the position. I'm not doing this for myself.
Okay. Vice President Watkins.
Oh, Representative Carson. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You're
good.
I forgot to put. I guess my I agree with Max, but is there anybody that wants to take this for like a month? I don't know. I guess this is more of a question, a point of.
I'll just use my right of response to say I know that there's people that would like to take the position.
All right. Okay, there is no campaigning without a vacancy. Vice President Watkins. Yeah.
I think this is valid and like a discussion worth having. And I do understand that him being here is also part of the problem, but I do feel like we should be having this vote and this discussion while he is here to defend himself, because right now we're not really hearing his side of the story. Yes.
That's not wrong.
I hear you, but I do think it's fair that he's here to defend himself. But that's my two cents.
Do you have a response?
My response is what I just yelled, which is that he's not here because he left our meeting early. And I would be happy to make the motion again at our next meeting and have him defend himself. But also, I would prefer that we just do this now because it's been a long fucking time coming.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Representative Tralla.
Yeah, wait, I just strongly agree. Like the attendance call outs, I've been keeping an eye on, I mean, not just him, but a lot of people. But I mean, consistently, like, he's just not here. He's leaving, like, he's showing up for, like, 5 minutes to get like roll call and then he's out of here. Like, he's not here to defend himself because he did leave like probably like before 6 or like before 5:45 or whatever it is. So yeah, I just think that we should just do this now. Like we I think we're all in agreement, or most of us should be in agreement about, you know, the way they should go. So yeah. Is there anything else that people are going to add, or should we just do this?
I'll use my right of response. I move to close debate.
Oh, okay.
Is there a dissent on that motion to close debate? There's dissent on the motion to close the debate. We'll now vote on whether or not to close debate on this motion. All's in favor of closing debate, please raise your placards. Keep them raised so I can take a count. This does look like a majority, but anyway. Okay, this 13. All is opposed. It's 4. Vote of 13 to 4. What? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Counting. Debate on this motion has been closed. Now vote on the motion to remove Vice President Wax back from his vice presidential role. All those in. What did I miss? All those in favor, please raise your placards high so I can get a count. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8. Okay, that was 13. All those opposed. Whoa. 2. All is abstaining. Okay. All right. So that's 6. We do have a rule against that. All right. Yeah, okay. Stop, please. We do have a rule against that, but you know, it's fine. Is there any abstentions? Okay. In a vote of 13-6-1, Vice President Wagsback has been removed from his vice presidential position.
Wait, point of order, and I hate that I'm gonna do this to myself, but do we need a majority of the body or a majority of the people present?
So because at organizational meetings, it is a majority of people present, the same standard will apply here.
Sounds good to me.
It's a majority of people present. Thus, there is now a vacancy in the role of Vice President of Communications and a motion to enter executive session to conduct an internal election. Is there a dissent? Seeing Is there dissent to going into executive session for something that we need to go into executive session for? Jay, put your placard down, please. Thank you. There is no dissent. We are now in executive session.